From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
You know, for kids.
And may their first child be a masculine child. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it's Tuesday, September 1st, 2009.
And this is show 055, and can you hear the forced enthusiasm in both of our voices?
I gotta say, I am... This is the only thing that could possibly have me, like... happy right now. Not that I'm sad. I'm actually very excited right now. I'm just weary. But just knowing that people are listening to this just makes me want to crawl under the covers and die. No, I'm very happy to be here. And I believe you.
We were just talking before the podcast. Both of us are dragging a little bit tonight, but you know, we're going to suck it up. We're going to man up and we're going to put on a show for you guys because we owe it to you. And plus we got a lot of cool things to talk about,
things to disclose.
Remember how I'm like a big cock tease saying cool things are happening. Can't tell you yet for like the last 9 billion weeks in a row. It's time to start telling you about cool things. But first, Storm, how many minions we got?
Well, the cool will lift you up. The cool will lift you up. We have 216 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
More on that in a moment. Go ahead.
Oh, I was figuring we would go right to it.
Oh, okay. I have the email right here, if you like.
Read it direct.
We got a very interesting email relating to minionship today. I will read it as follows. Dear P and S.
That's us.
P. Yeah, you would be S, I would be P. When I say you, I mean you, Storm, not you listeners.
Right, well, some of you may be S.
First, let me say you have two very dedicated listeners here, and we also both follow you on Twitter. We are Carolina Wolfie and Dave728NC. That's a plug. Now, here's the question. We don't do pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We are blind tech persons, so
good.
Pictures would be difficult to send.
Yeah.
However, we could certainly send you an audio clip saying hello and requesting our admittance into the menagerie of minions. Please advise. So there we go. Minions.
Before we toss it to y'all out there.
Yeah.
You know, certainly if we were Old Testament style overlords, we could certainly say no. You know, those are the rules.
The practical problem is our gallery of minions is set up on Flickr, which can accept pictures and movies, but not audio files.
Well, if it accepts movies, wouldn't it be possible to record something in a file format that could be played as a movie? There might not be any visual.
I considered that, as I'm sure did you, but then I thought that's too easy a solution, and we should really... look to the resource that we have on hand, that being the 216, was it?
216 existing minions and thousands of podcast listeners.
Yes, thousands of potential minions. And see what your guys' thoughts were as to how we can resolve this.
Well, we can kick it around ourselves.
Certainly.
Option one is to be a truly evil overlord and say, sorry, you have to put in a photo like everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's a non-starter, but it is an option nonetheless.
Just saying, that's one way that could be, some overlords might go that way.
Right, some
You and I,
some
of course,
might.
Would not.
Of course not.
Another option we just discussed was the movie thing. I guess the problem is, like, there are a lot of creative solutions, but we want it to be clear that, you know, they are among the minions, you know?
Yes,
so how
absolutely.
Do you do something where... they are a minion like anyone else, but in their own way, but clearly part of the brigade. That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge. Unless we had, you know, enough blind minions, that there would be like...
Have their own separate subgroup or something?
A detail, right.
Yeah.
But,
well, not but separate. We're not trying to discriminate here.
No, I don't want to do that either because, you know, it is a mighty unified force.
That's right.
So yeah, let us know. There, I'm sure, I would say the listenership of the podcast is way smarter than us on the whole. I'm just going to say that. I know you don't agree with that, Paul.
Oh, pish posh, you trying to set me up.
But anyway, so let us know what you think about that.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, a little bit of business that we covered in brief last week, but it's much closer now. In fact, many of you listening to this podcast, because it probably won't be released until September 2nd, will be listening to it on Acknowledgement Day.
Of course.
So, I don't know. If I feel like we need, like, not a prayer or a psalm or a phrase.
A benediction of some sort?
Yeah, just some small ritual.
We need a non-denominational ritualistic utterance.
Yeah, nothing crude either.
Sure, and sure.
I don't want to make our listeners do all of our thinking for us here, you know, though it's fun, and I like what they usually come up with. But
yeah,
I don't know. If we're in the same place, we could each open a 40 and guzzle it down.
That
you know,
could be.
And belch her name. That might be nice.
That could work. By the way, those of you who do not know what we're talking about because you've missed a bunch of podcasts or something, we refer to, of course, the first anniversary of the date that Felicia Day, star of television screen and interwebs, acknowledged our existence for the first time, which was something we had been working towards for a while. And we need to mark the occasion somehow.
Well, I could be a dick right now.
Okay, go ahead. Why would this be any different than any other time?
You're right. It's because I love you.
Yes.
We could I don't know. We can go somewhere, meet up with her, and play Rock Band with her, and then you can call her a bitch.
Yeah, nothing like the band inside jokes. That all basically happened, but it was all it was the good way.
No, I agree, and I only say it because it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, there's just no way out of that. Seeming anything remotely close to a good guy, despite the fact that it was taken in the spirit with which it was intended.
Well, it was cute. The barbs were flying in both directions.
They were. So it was a real weird. Well, no, it was a funky. Like, you know, we had met her. Okay, here we go. More stuff about us and famous people. Oh, shut up, Paul. But like, the one thing I will mention is it was funky, and it struck me like almost right upon meeting her. It was like we had this weird sort of big brother, little sister, snipey thing. Like, it wasn't flirty and it wasn't mean. It was just sort of this, oh, hey, okay, let's play this game. And, and suddenly there it was. And
well, you really set the tone when you took the slingshot out of your back pocket and pegged her with a gumball. And
I suppose if that's...
And then she chewed up
well,
the
then
gum.
She invited me to kick the football, and then she swiped it away at the last second.
Yeah, I mean, it was spooky how that was going.
Yeah, so but nonetheless, it did culminate in my calling her a bitch. Which has just probably lost me a few fans.
I heard a bunch of clicks out there. That's spooky because it happened in the future.
Yes.
Well, I think that's an appropriate way to acknowledge is...
What, to call a redhead a bitch sometime tomorrow?
Well, maybe that's the thing. So all you folks out there...
go ahead.
I was going to say... hug a redhead and then call her a bitch. I think
or
that's,
him
or
let's
him
not discriminate.
No, or a thing, you know, as long as it has red hair or something that looks
right.
like hair.
And anybody who can actually track down, God, what's his name? The guy who played Ralph Mouth.
Oh, Ralph Mouth. Oh God, I just had a memory about that. Sorry,
I was going to say you get bonus points if you get a picture. Send us a picture of you hugging Ralph Mouth.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you a
that's worth
of
a t-shirt. It's got to be a real Ralph Mouth. It can't be photoshopped.
Well, I already promised him a carton of milk. But no, you're right. We don't know the actor's name. IMDb is right there on the keyboard if I press the right buttons, but I'm not going to bother. What was I going to say? Oh, Ralph Mouth. I caught a lot of flack in elementary school because of Ralph Mouth.
Donnie Most, by the way.
Donnie Most. I totally knew that. I remember that Anson Williams was Potsy.
Okay, yeah, I can always remember Anson Williams, but Don Most gets the short end of the stick. But nonetheless.
So my middle name is actually Ralph, and which is a great, nice, fine, terrific name. English call it, I guess, Rafe. And if I'd known that it could be pronounced Rafe when I was in elementary school, it would have saved me some grief, because Happy Days was popular at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the name Ralph could not be delinked from Mouth.
No.
And the character.
It's still difficult, but then it was nigh impossible.
Right, right. So, you know, I just needed to share my grief, and
sure.
I need to move on now. I don't want to dwell.
I understand you. Oh, pity party for Storm on three. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
We are a little punchy tonight.
A little bit.
Yeah. So moving forward, I have a thing.
Okay.
Let's get to announcement one, which really isn't an announcement anymore because it's after the fact. But for those of you who haven't seen it on our website, we just released a new song.
Oh, yeah.
First in a little while. It is called I Will Sing a Lullaby, and we're pretty happy with it.
Yeah, turned out, I'd say, like we had the discussion last week and other times about songs that just didn't quite pan out the way we hoped they would.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this may be in the post on the website, but that this is one that's been brewing for a while, and we said, no, let's not just rush this one out there. Let's get the production right and really make it sound what it's like, what it's supposed to.
This is, it's sort of our version of James Cameron's Avatar, where we actually, this ties in, by the way, we had asked on Twitter if anyone had any suggestions, and Chris Doobie recommended we talk about the journey of a song from inspiration to recording. I'm not going to do an entire post-mortem on the song, but this song, the first verse and chorus of it were written well over a year ago. I'd say maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And in fact, basically the whole song was written, but only the first verse and chorus were performable as it was, because it starts out very soft. We'll put it on the end of the podcast so you can hear it, but it starts out soft, just piano and voice, and then it expands a bit to guitar and piano and two voices. And the whole idea of the song was basically trying to take the piss out of every Coldplay song ever.
Yeah, the over-emotional, sensitive, estrogen-filled sort of...
Yeah, and in fact, it was born out of a comment. I can't remember if I even actually made the comment, or I just pretended after the fact that I made it in order to make the story sound good, or at least thought to myself, after having listened to Coldplay's Fix You, that this song, I thought the song was so sort of geared towards women of a particular emotional state, shall we say, that particular type of female fan, that he might as well have just sung the song directly into somebody's vagina.
Yeah, I believe that really, I remember you saying that comment before the song was in process.
And that's really sort of the core of the song. And as you can hear, it's basically the joke of the song that gets repeated a lot. But we really wanted to match the original Coldplay-ish, overproduced, heavy pop song, and we weren't really capable of that given our skill set and the tools that were available to us a year and a half ago. So we just sort of put it in a drawer for a while.
And in a year, we've become super awesome.
Yeah, we've become so damn awesome.
And we have a super awesome friend named Brendan Milburn.
Yes, we thank him in the post on the website, but it's worth mentioning again. Brendan is a keyboard player, songwriter, singer, part of the band Groove Lily, who are very old friends of ours.
Don't forget composer.
Oh, of course, composer. excuse me. And he's played on a few songs of ours in the past. A great session guy, probably one of the two best natural musicians I know. I might even say he's the best.
Yep.
As far as just somebody who can, you play him a song once and he sits down and immediately plays not only the song, but like an arrangement of it that's better than the version you played for him.
In fact, he you don't even have to play it for him. Like, you just let him stare at you for about 20 seconds, and
that's
he will play something that will... it won't even be what was in your head, but when he plays it, you'll be like, oh my God, you know, that was exactly what what I had in mind.
He played the song. He always plays the song that you wish you had written.
Yes.
But anyway, huge thanks to Brendan, who gave us a nice boost on several instruments and helped us tweak a lot of things in the production. And we might have eventually been able to do it without him, but it probably would have taken another year and a half. So big thanks to Brendan for that.
Yep. I have a recommend.
Please recommend away.
So I've had the DVR for a little while. I have of the Verizon Fios and enjoy it very much.
Mm-hmm. As do I.
But it's only now that I've sort of settled into a rhythm with the DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you first get it and you're like, oh, I want to watch everything. And you record a couple of things and yeah, there are a couple that you watch, but you just sort of, you don't have the skill set for it yet.
Yep.
But I'm finally there, like knowing, okay, I've got a half an hour where, you know, I can cruise the internet a little, or I can sit down and snack on some of the stuff.
That's right. And this is coming from a guy who does not, as a general rule, like television very much. So
you could almost say I hate television, though I've found enough programming, mostly thanks to this magical digital video recording box recorder.
Yes.
And one of the shows that I really, really enjoy and find is terrific for those little tweener times and for when I'm hungry is Good Eats with Alton Brown.
Yes.
Now, if you don't know, I'd be surprised if you don't know who he is. It's on the Food Network, and I liken it to being the Mythbusters of food.
Yes.
He's not debunking food things, but he's explaining, instead of just showing you how to cook things, which he does, and he makes good things, why it is you salt the onions now and not
later. He breaks it down in a genuinely scientific yet incredibly interesting manner.
And entertaining. I swear to God, the most entertaining episode that I've seen, and I've watched dozens of them at this point, is on oats. Right? Oats. You would think that would be, oh God, oats. But he does this whole thing about haggis. And I don't know if they put clips up of these, but if you look up like Good Eats, Alton Brown, haggis, you'll be entertained by that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think Mike Myers doing his Scottish thing, but then put in a little bit of science and a sword. And you've kind of got the picture.
Wait, a sword?
A sword.
Does he actually wield a sword in this episode?
He wields a sword. Basically, you have to cut up the bits of the offal, of the guts of, you know, whatever it is that you're going to put in the haggis.
Right.
And he's usually a very precision kind of guy.
Like, he is. He's very anal retentive.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, everything in its own, you know, box, and wear the glove when you're mixing this or that.
Yep.
In this case, he just lets it fly. And
awesome.
I guess you shouldn't watch that first if you haven't seen the show before. So I'd say watch a half dozen episodes, then seek out the haggis, which is part of the oats episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my recommendation.
Okay. I'll make a quick recommendation. I haven't even watched it in a long time, but I read something about it somewhere this week, and it reminded me of it. Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
PBS series from the early, mid-80s that is basically a college-level science and philosophy course in a box, and it goes on your TV. It's just great, interesting viewing, and it's sort of been reduced to the old cliche of the billions and billions, which is what most people ever only remember of it. But it's really just a wonderful, wonderful series. I watched it twice without the benefit of a VCR back in my teenage days, and it's just, I would call it required viewing.
Well, it was...
If you want me to like you, it's required viewing.
The word revolutionary is flung about a lot, But really, before that particular series, no one had made that level of science that accessible and understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all the programming that is on, like, the History Channel or Discovery, where, you know, the modern marvels, and
right.
they do have astronomy shows and cosmology. All of that, I think it's safe to say, or at least I'm going to go ahead and generalize, grew out of this success with Cosmos.
Yep.
And saying, no, we don't have to, you know, oversimplify things and make it Mr. Wizard, you know, to get the point across, that we can address an audience on a high level, but explain it creatively and in an engaging way.
That's right.
So
there's
that. Or watch it again.
Yes, watch it again. In fact, I'm going to go buy it for myself this Christmas. I'm vowing that right now. It's going to be my present to me.
You deserve Cosmos.
I do deserve Cosmos. I deserve it in DVD format, if not Blu-ray.
Now, I mentioned a few hops back about Good Eats being the Mythbusters of food.
Yes, I heard you drop that name.
I did, and it was kind of deliberate, though I really did want to
say it was entirely deliberate.
No, because this was actually a carryover from last week. I was going to recommend Alton Brown.
Okay.
But it works out this week because, as fans of Mythbusters know, it is co-hosted by...
Go ahead. You got the reins on this one. Drive it home.
Okay. Adam and Jamie. And
that would be Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman.
Well, I was assuming people were, you know, hip to that.
Well, just in case.
Well, we have encountered Adam on a couple of occasions on the road and on Twitter.
And I do believe we've discussed it on the podcast. So
yeah, we're not just like, oh, we know Adam Savage. But the point is, when you meet folks who do really cool, interesting stuff that gets you excited, you're always like, wow, you know, it would be really cool to do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same feeling way back early when we were first started touring the country with Jonathan Coulton, when we met Will Wheaton.
Yes.
And that same kind of feeling like, wow, you know, here's someone who has taken writing and blogging and geek culture before people were calling it that,
mm-hmm.
and built something out of it. You know,
he, by the way, anyone out there not knowing who he is, in case we have any non-geeks in our listenership, he used to play Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation, and he was one of the four leads in the movie Stand By Me. He was a child actor, and he sort of jeted over from his career as a child actor into becoming an author, and was one of the very first really truly successful bloggers.
He matured into being a...
There we go, yes.
An author,
he transmogrified.
Actor.
I like to use that word because I'm a Calvin and Hobbes fan.
I was picturing Calvin with the Ray.
Yep.
So yes, actor, writer, blogger. And... We always say to ourselves, we have to do something sometimes. There's too much awesome around, you know?
It's just like bouncing off the walls and rebounding through windows, and it needs to be captured.
And it's some of it is finally captured. And I think the right combination is captured.
Yes, that's
in that
right.
I mention Adam Savage and I mention Will Wheaton in the same frame as us. Because we are very proud to announce, in October, San Francisco and Los Angeles, I don't know, do we call it 1.0 or the first?
No, we call it 1.0.
Okay. The 1.0 version of Wootstock.
Wootstock, yes.
Wootstock.
Don't you love the name? We do.
Technically, it's all lowercase with two zeros for the O's. We are
the first two O's anyway.
And you're probably asking yourself at this point, okay, so what? Well, you're probably not. You're probably going, that's freaking awesome, because that's kind of what we're going like.
Yeah.
It's going to be, as we call it, a night of geeks and music. Which is wonderfully nonspecific. We know that.
Yep. We will be, you know, as of right now, it's still evolving.
But there will certainly be music and stories and presentations. I know that sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
There are a number of other guests that are well known to the geek community that we already know either are going to participate or may.
Yep.
So
we're also hoping to maybe have some short films in there. Who knows what we're going to include? We're really it's evolving every day, and we're having a great time discussing it amongst ourselves and figuring out what it's going to be. But whatever it is, it will have been organized into some sort of presentable mass.
Oh yes. In fact, I think there's going to be a lot of audience participation this week.
I would hope so.
So you folks know that we are going to be at Woodstock. Adam Savage of MythBusters is going to be at Woodstock, and Will Wheaton is going to be at Woodstock. What do you want to see?
Bearing in mind that we can't really afford to pay anybody else.
That's
right. So they've
got
to be local to either San Francisco or Los Angeles. Oh, quickly, the details.
They'll be
on the website as well.
Yeah.
Monday, October 19th, this show, Woodstock 1.0, is going to be at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco. There's a link for tickets that'll be on the website by the time this goes up. And then Wednesday, October 21st, what I guess we will either call Woodstock 1.01 or 1.0A, whichever one we haven't decided yet. We'll decide that by the time this goes up. We'll be at Largo in Los Angeles, California. And there's a number you can call for tickets for that. So given those parameters.
Now when I say, you know, what do you want to see or happen? I don't just mean people, you
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
It can be, you know, I want to see robots, you know. Put robots in there and I will be there with
robots.
All my friends.
Yeah, battle bots up on the stage.
Yeah, or, you know, there should be a chocolate fountain in the lobby, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we don't like to do all the thinking ourselves, you know?
Oh, and one more thing, for those of you who don't live in the San Francisco or Los Angeles areas and are all pissed off because they can't see this thing, which we think is going to be pretty awesome, your job is to get anyone and everyone you know who does live in San Francisco and Los Angeles and the surrounding areas to go to this thing, because if they do well enough, we are hopefully going to have further future iterations of this thing in other markets.
We'll see how it goes.
And we're hoping, yeah. I mean, that's not a promise, but, you know, it would be really helpful if this does really well. So, you know, everybody has a job to do here.
And there is a chance there may be streaming involved. We don't know yet. Many possibilities.
Oh, streaming. I thought you said screaming. There will certainly be screaming involved.
There's going to be championship geek calling. Yes, that's right. Oh, there's the front runner.
Yeah, that works for me. But anyway, the details for the shows will be up on the website again by the time this this podcast is posted.
Oh, the 10-minute mark was about 17, well, almost 18 minutes
18
ago.
18 minutes ago, yeah. How about that? So there you go. There's all the cool things that I've been such a dick about for the past few weeks. New song, Woodstock shows in San Francisco and Los Angeles. What more could a person ask for?
Happy 27th birthday to Earbox. I'm not one for doing that kind of thing, but he's or she's the first person who's ever asked for that.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was off of the Twitter. So,
sure.
So the rest of you don't expect that.
Anything else going on the Twitter?
I do have a, I don't know how talk you were feeling, but another.
I'm all right.
Okay. Well, Memories of Storm kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Nelson asked, what's the most awkward situation you've ever had meeting a fan?
Oh, this is a good one for you to answer because you tend to have more awkward interactions.
Well, this one, I don't know if it's cheating because I don't know how to take that, Paul.
Well, you're not as, you're certainly a nice person, but I you're not as full of bullshit and piss and vinegar as I am, which I might call gregarious, but really is more sort of full of shitness.
Yeah, I have my own way of being full of shit.
I suppose that's true. Okay.
But this is sort of cheating because it wasn't as Paul and Storm, nor was it even as Da Vinci's Notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Back in college, I believe you did this as well, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I did college radio.
Yes.
And I had a shift both on the AM and would sit in sometimes with my friend Joel on the FM side.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was not dating anybody. And my friend Joel, who is very much an enabler, decided that I needed to meet some nice girls. And so we decided we would have a hold a date with, and this was my radio name at the time, TF Storm. All right. We got the station to pony up gift certificates for the restaurant, the fancy restaurant that was in the student union, which was called, I'm not making this up, What's Your Beef?
Yep.
Right? The steakhouse, you know.
Yep,
we're going,
yep.
Where are you going tonight? He's taking me to What's Your Beef?
Well, there was a question mark there too, right? Because every truly classy restaurant has punctuation.
That's true. Or is named after an ingredient.
Yes. Or and is possessive, like an ingredient with an apostrophe S.
Right, and that one had both. So we have this contest. Bear in mind, this is like a 10-watt station. So its coverage area is basically, you know, around the two of us plus a few dorm rooms.
Yeah, like a 10-foot span around the room you were broadcasting from.
Pretty much. Like, we probably could have shouted it out the window, like, put the speaker in the window and yep. had, like, quadrupled the listenership. But that was okay. Didn't matter. We decided this would be a fun thing. Win a mm-hmm. date with TF Storm.
Yep.
And we got actually one response.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked if they could just have the gift certificates. And and it was Joel who happened to be, it was on his shift when the caller came
right.
in. And of course, no, he wasn't going to let that go by. So we arranged, and of course he made sure that, that this person brought a friend. And so there we were at What's Your Beef on like a Wednesday night. And they showed up, and I got to say, that was possibly the most awkward meal of my life.
Wow.
I had, for a starter, I ate my pride, and the main course was my heart on a mm-hmm. platter, and not because I was particularly interested in either of the girls who uh-huh. showed up, nor were they interested in me.
Yep.
I think Joel was getting a good kick out of it the whole time.
I'm sure he was.
So that's I'm just going to stop right there with that one. And
fair enough.
I guess it's really cheating because they weren't really fans.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll give a better answer to that next week if we feel like it or something. But seeing as we're bumping up against 33, almost 34 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Plus, we have a long song to tack on to the end of this thing. I suppose now is as good a time as any. Oh, I will make one last mention. A couple of our more attentive fans out there apparently already have, according to the Twitter, already have their Wootstock tickets. The,
yeah,
the ticket
wow.
link has been up for the San Francisco show a couple of days. So if someone was really scouring the internet for mentions of us, you could have found it. So congratulations to them.
But I get the feeling you are going to want to jump on these tickets.
Yeah, we hope so and we expect so. So there you have it. Speaking of shows, we're going to Penny Arcade Expo this weekend.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that. That's going to be awesome. I'm sure it'll be all we talk about next week.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of shows coming up September, October, November, December, including Denver, St. Louis, New Haven, Connecticut, Northampton, Massachusetts, Boston, Ann Arbor, Michigan. What else we got over here? Chicago.
Yeah.
And, of course, let us not forget Wootstock in San Francisco and Los Angeles. I have a feeling we may mention these shows once or twice more.
Oh, yeah.
Before this podcast series is up.
But go to Paul and Storm.
Yes, go ahead.
Go to paulandstorm.com to learn more about those. There's going to be a little page for Wootstock as well. Find out how to join the Brigade of Minions. We need more minions. We need deaf minions, especially. Tell us how we should include deaf minions. Or is it blind minions?
Blind.
But we need deaf minions.
We do need deaf minions as well.
To balance our blind minions.
Good thing we're asking about it on an audio-only format.
That's right. We're being proactive.
That's
by
right.
Asking about that.
We're just inclusive is all.
Because we're Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Go do things.
Sorrow grabs your heart and it's getting colder. When the shadows are around you and the clouds block out the sun, there is still a path by the light above my door. When you feel like a lamb among the lions, when you've nothing left to give and feel like dying, when you just don't have it in you to take another step, I will be right here to help you take one more. And I will take you by the hand, and I will say I understand, and I will give you comfort, and I will dry your tears, and I vagina's all so tired. When your lady parts are weary and your soul hurts from the strain, I will be your strength and your vagina's friend. When your every day is the darkest of the season, when existence seems to lose all of its reason, when the flower of your womanhood feels broken and afraid, I will help your womb get on its feet again. And I will gently stroke your hair, rest your head upon my shoulder. I will say how much I care. You found the kindest kind. And I will ease your burden, and I will make you whole.
Still vagina, oh, sleep vagina, sleep.